pieces. That amount brought a smile even to Killick's face. That smile reverted back to his customary scowl when Richter told him about the 10% discount Leandra had agreed to before, to which she just smiled sheepishly. That change in expression almost made the cost of everything worthwhile to Richter. Leandra and Killick packaged his purchases, and he went back to check on Tirad. Richter could see that things were not going great. A look of frustration was on Tirad's face.
Gah! They've written this in some code. I can only make out bits and pieces. I will need help to figure out the book. I can't stand these delays!
He visibly composed himself and then looked at Richter.
I will need time and the help of wiser minds than my own to read this, but I will find the other captives. I will find Isabel. I don't have the right to ask this, but when I find where she is, will you help me? Either way, I will fulfill my bargain to speak on your behalf to any that would join you, but
his voice broke a bit.
I have to save her.
You have been offered a quest. Fight for those who cannot, too. Isabel remains missing, and Tirad is overcome with grief. He is placing all of his hope on the chance that this ledger will provide her location. He is asking for your help once he finds out where she is. Reward, increased relationship with Tirad, yes or no?
I will help you, Richter said. This wasn't just about getting people for his village anymore. This was his new life, and he wouldn't just stand by when horrible things were being done. He would help if he could.
Congratulations, your relationship with Tirad has improved from neutral to friendly. That was a little strange. Getting his reward before he finished the quest, but okay, Richter thought. Tirad heaved a sigh of relief.
I need to get some sleep. I was not able to rest waiting for them to open that chest. I will head back to the inn and set up a meeting with you and some prominent non-humans that might be interested in coming to your village. I won't be able to get them together until nightfall, though.
Tirad started toward the door, but then turned back.
You should know that it is not only non-humans that have had trouble fitting into the kingdom recently. Many human men and women are struggling to provide food and the basic necessities for themselves as well. There is a building in the Grand Market where journeymen often went in days past. They could be found there by those who needed their services. These days, many humans congregate in the Grand Market every day from all different types of professions and walks of life, just looking for a few coins. If you aren't too exhausted, you could stop by the market first before coming back to the inn. I have to warn you, though. The difficulties of their lives have made some extremely bitter and hateful towards non-humans. Be careful who you invite to join your village. You'll find the Grand Market on the western side of the city, halfway up the hill.
Nodding thanks for the information, Richter said,
I appreciate your counsel, Tirad. I will check out this Grand Market.
First, I need a moment, though. Tirad nodded back, and Richter walked back to the front of the store. He reached into his bag and then placed his hand on the counter in front of Leandra. She looked at him with a half-smile and a curious expression. Her infectious grin brought one to his face as well. Trying not to blush, he said,
I wanted to thank you for all of your help. What you taught me saved our lives last night. I hope that I see you again very soon, but I was wondering if you could do me a favor until then and hold on to something for me.
He nodded his head toward the hand he placed on the counter. She leaned over, and he slowly peeled his hand away. He looked underneath his hand as if to ensure what was there before moving quickly to reveal there had been nothing there in the first place. But her focus and distraction let him grab her other hand and place a beautiful opal in her palm. She gasped and gave a small shriek when she saw the iridescent colors play over its white surface. Throwing her hands around his neck, she gave him a big hug, and he realized that he couldn't have found a better use for the jewel.
Congratulations. Your relationship with Leandra has improved from friendly to interested. Charisma has increased by +1.
The moment would have been perfect if not for Killick's glower. The man's gaze threatened all manner of tortures if Richter didn't let go quickly. The Chaos Seed gave a small cough and stepped back, retreating out of the door with Tirad and Sion. While he walked through, he was still thinking of the way Leandra had somehow smelled like caramel.
Chapter 23, Day 44, Shaban 32, 15,368 ABG.
They followed Tirad's directions to the western side of the city. They heard the Grand Market well before they saw it. Even this early in the day, a bustle of activity could be heard sounding like the drone of an enormous beehive and evolving into the shouted voices of hundreds and then thousands of people. They turned a final corner and were confronted with a sea of tents and stands. The street they were walking on sloped down as it entered the market, and so they had a clear view of the countless vendors extending out in front of them. There was no uniformity to be seen. Pointed or flat-topped, beige or a riotous collage of colors, the tents that comprised the bazaar did not follow any recognizable pattern. Some were as large as a house and others so small it didn't seem that they could fit a person inside. Tirad had told them that the building they were looking for was at the center of the market. The two friends began walking and melded with the chaos of people squeezing down narrow corridors between the tents. It was an assault on the senses, almost overwhelming. It made Richter glad that no one else could access his valuables in his bag of holding, because this setting must be a pickpocket's wet dream. Many sights grabbed Richter's attention, from food to weapons to exotic animals in cages. Even the people were varied in their speech, skin color, and style of dress. Richter had wondered why his darker skin color had not raised any eyebrows in the fair-skinned humans he had met, but he saw plenty in the market that could represent every race on Earth, and also people who wouldn't fit any category he was familiar with. There was even a fairly large amount of non-humans. Every tent did have at least one human, but in the market, the non-humans at least stood tall and made eye contact. The one place Richter did linger was a bookseller, but the magic books they offered were less than genuine. The prompt that appeared when Richter examined them showed that they were only normal books. The merchant tried to tell him that the magic had to be earned, but Richter deduced the books were merely traps to separate the gullible from their money. He decided to just press on, glancing back from time to time to make sure he hadn't lost Sion. Somehow, he didn't think the sprite would appreciate a suggestion to hold his hand. 2 hours passed before they saw the columned building that Tirad had described. It wasn't just that the market was large enough to require that amount of time, even though it was massive. Their slow pace had more to do with the press of people and the arrangement of the tents. It was a maze. Several times they had walked into a dead end and had to backtrack. One time, only a grim glare coupled with the fact that their hands were firmly on their weapons had backed down a pair of men that had clearly meant them harm. They did see occasional pairs of soldiers walking, but they were few and far between. It didn't escape Richter's notice that most vendors had at least daggers at their belts, and that the larger tents had burly men looking over anyone that came close. The only real benefit of walking through the market was that Richter got ample opportunity to use Analyze. Despite this opportunity, he grew impatient, and Richter finally grabbed an urchin who agreed to lead them to the building for a few coppers. Half an hour later, their destination was in sight. Their guide told them the building was an old converted temple, though no one remembered what deity it had once been dedicated to. The locals simply called it the Hall. With an abrupt transition, the tents stopped, and a large arena of paved stones opened in front of them. Tents could be seen lining the edges of a rectangular area about the size of 2 football fields placed end to end. The small girl leading them pointed to one end of the open space and then disappeared back into the morass of tents. Richter wondered if her whole life had been spent inside of that canvas expanse. Dismissing it from his mind, they walked towards the hall, enjoying the relative freedom of personal space for the first time in what felt like a great while, though it had actually only been a few hours. Fountains and statues in various states of disrepair dotted the space, as did small clusters of trees. Quartets of guards lounged at the edge periodically, presumably to be able to react to trouble quickly in any direction. The density of people increased as they neared the hall. There seemed to be some loose organization to the workers standing around. People of similar builds and clothes lounged together. The companions walked up the steps, and the relative quiet they'd enjoyed outside in the plaza was replaced by the sound of many voices. Richter looked at the packed masses of people and quailed. Tarad had told them there was only one person that he trusted in the hall. They would just have to search for her. The inside of the hall was set up in a series of small platforms that the agents stood upon. The potential employers spoke to the agents, who then led them to the appropriate workers. Along the walls, there were more agents. They were apparently more important and warranted small booths and desks. Tarad had told them that being an agent was a thriving business. Apparently everyone seeking employment had to register with an agent. The practice had been around so long now that it had been formalized by the kingdom. Each agent was licensed, and there was a finite amount of licenses at any one time. Anyone masquerading as an agent, or any worker trying to get employment without going through proper channels, would earn themselves a beating or imprisonment. The guards present in the building certainly seemed more alert than those outside. The one thing that worked in Richter's favor was that there were only a limited number of agents. They found the woman they were looking for rather quickly, only needing to ask for directions twice. Tarad had referred to her as Mama. Mama turned out to be a 5-foot-nothing ball of fury. She gave orders, and her voice was like the crack of a whip, moving business along with the efficiency of a drummer on a Roman war galley. There was a clear protocol. The area in front of her booth lacked the milling chaos that characterized the rest of the building. Her customers had formed an orderly line, with a person moving up, handing over a piece of paper and saying what they needed. A short conversation about the specifics of the contract then ensued. Afterward, she would gesture to one of her several aides that stood nearby. Coins would exchange hands, then the aide and customer would walk off, presumably to retrieve whatever help the customer had come to obtain. Somewhat at a loss, but not wanting to rock the boat, Richter and Sion joined the line. In what seemed like no time, they were at the front, and her hand was out, while looking down and writing the details of the last transaction in an open book in front of her. When nothing landed in her hand, she looked up with complete and utter disdain, searching for and finding the moron who had brought disorder to her carefully cultivated universe. Richter could swear he heard the people behind him backing up to show they were not with him, but he didn't dare look away from the woman before him.
"When my hand is out, I expect your reference to be placed in it. I do not work with people I do not know. I have found it to be a waste of my time. I do not like wasting my time. I do not like people that waste my time. Now you are just standing there looking indecisive. Indecision causes confusion. Confusion causes accidents. Accidents cause death. So before my mental anguish transforms into your physical anguish, why don't you get out of my line?"
Each word of her speech dripped venom and rose in volume until she was shouting at the end. This time Richter was sure everyone had moved away from him. And yes, he meant everyone. Out of the corner of his eye, he caught Sion standing a good 3 feet away. Blushing from the embarrassment of being dressed down like a child, he said, "Tarad sent us. He told us you were the person we should trust." Her face twitched as she digested this information. Her mouth opened, and she continued in the same tone, but with perhaps a touch less volume.
"And why should I trust that? Why should I trust you?"
Richter's mind searched frantically before latching onto Tarad's last statement, said over his shoulder as he walked away. Richter repeated it now. "He said to remember I should never lie to Mama." Her face twitched again, and this time the left corner of her mouth turned up right before she broke into a large smile.
"And how is Mr. Tall, dark and brooding?"
"He told me to convey his regards and apologies that he has not seen you recently. He's helping me with certain arrangements, but he told me that in addition to his unique resources,
that you might be able to help me as well.
Well, that is likely true enough, she said loudly.
The smile left her face, and her sharp business tone came out again.
But I will not know until you stop standing there like idiots and tell me what you need.
I need good people to live in, work in, and grow my village. I'm willing to pay a fair wage, and anyone that can open and maintain a business can keep the fruits of their labor as long as they pay a tax, and also contribute to the overall defense and productivity of the village. I have heard that many talented people are going to waste here. I'm willing to give them a home.
Okay, that's the cream. Now what's the curdle? And don't try to sell me a sky of sunshine and the promise of no rain. Listen to the advice you got. You do not want to lie to Mama.
This woman was tough. Taking a deep breath, Richter replied,
It's in the forest of Nadria.
It has many resources, but no infrastructure yet. We would be building from the ground up. I also would need anyone that came to agree to leave the kingdom for at least one whole year. Security matters to me, but I promise that anyone who wants to leave after a year, I will see safely back to the town of Leaf's Crossing.
You ask a lot, she said, staring at him. I need to think this over. If you can wait, you can rest over there while I conduct my business with the rest of these good people. We will talk when I'm done.
Nodding agreement, Richter walked to the area she indicated on the side of her booth. He sat down on her floor, and Sion sat next to him.
Oh, so now you don't mind being near me?
That was a dick move, man, he said to the sprite.
Sion simply gave a shrug and sat in the lotus position, with his bow across his legs.
Richter was pretty sure the little man had fallen asleep and fought an irrational urge to give him a wet willy. Instead, he leaned his back against the wall and waited. And waited. And waited. It was well past noon when the line of employers dwindled off. Richter had wanted to leave several times, but had stayed out of a mixture of respect for Tirad's opinion, desire to have the best for his village, and honestly having nothing better to do. When she finished with her last client, Mama placed a placard with a red X on her desk facing out and stood up. She motioned for Richter to follow her outside, and he nudged Sion, who annoyingly had been snoring softly for the past couple hours. When they were outside on a terrace that ran around the three quarters of the building, not facing the promenade, she started talking.
I did not expect you to wait. It takes a lot for someone to sit on a stone floor with no real promise of obtaining what they desire. It normally takes either desperation or dedication. You do not seem overly desperate to me.
They kept walking around, looking at the masses of people on the ground to the sides of the building.
Did Tirad tell you why they called me Mama? I'm guessing no, as he didn't give you a written referral, despite knowing that is how I do things. Tell him he will get a slap on the head for that down the line, by the way. They call me Mama because I care about the people I represent. Every man or woman that gets a contract through me is paid and treated fairly. If there is ever an issue, I make sure my people are taken care of, and then I deal with anyone that would cheat me and mine.
She looked meaningfully at Richter. He nodded back, not speaking, but with a serious expression. Satisfied, she continued.
Now because of this, my workers apply themselves and work harder than others, which makes the employers happy. Both the employers and the workers know that I only deal with solid and dependable people. That is why Tirad sent you to me. Now, while I am not able to do as much as I would like for many people, I also do not make a practice of placing the well-beings of my charges in the hands of someone I don't know.
Richter's expression must have fallen a bit because she sharply said,
Pay attention! I said normally. You may be a special case. There are a few things in your favor. One,
she held up her closed fist, extending her forefinger.
You showed patience this morning. Two,
another finger went up.
Tirad sent you. If that old warhorse vouches for you, it means a lot. Three, there is something about you that makes me want to trust you that doesn't often happen. Now, while those three things might make me want to buy you an ale and see how firm that tush is, they wouldn't bring me to entrust the well-being of any of my workers with you. While you were waiting, though, I had some people ask about you. There's a rumor that a particularly loathsome gang by the docks was attacked and had a good portion of their members wiped out. During this bloodbath, some non-human captives were freed. No one is quite sure who did it, but a close friend of mine confided that his brother's friend's girlfriend's long-lost schoolmate, or some such rubbish, had been part of the raid, and that there was a curious late addition of a man and a sprite. Now, you would not know anything about that, would you?
By the time she had related the last points, they had walked to a secluded part of the terrace, where there was no one to eavesdrop. Richter looked at her. He was somewhat alarmed that she had made the connection so easily. Not for any direct concern that she meant him ill, but that it raised the real possibility that the remaining gang members could find him and the others. True, she apparently knew Tirad well, and he had said he trusted her implicitly, so it would be easier for her to connect the dots than someone outside of Tirad's immediate circle. But it was disquieting nonetheless. It made him anxious to conclude his business in the city and get back to the forest. Despite his discomfort, though, Richter still needed help, and Tirad had vouched for this woman. How could Richter ask her to trust him if he was not willing to do the same? I'm sure that you understand the dangers of your question for me, Tirad, or anyone else involved. I'm equally sure that it's not necessary for me to stress how important it is to be discreet, but I will anyway. That being said, yes, I was a part of the raid to free the non-humans. We succeeded, but unfortunately lost some men along the way. We also did not free all of them, as some had been sold as slaves to various nobles. We don't know who yet, but Tirad is a ledger that we were told can point us to those that were involved. The ledger was encoded, so he is working now to figure it out. When he does, we are going to help him get the missing back, specifically Isabel. She listened closely while he related his story. When he mentioned Isabel, though, her face broke with shock.
Isabel is missing? He tried to smuggle her out of the city? A fool! I told him not to trust those shifty nightblades.
She stared out over the promenade for several minutes.
Okay. I understand why Tirad trusts you now. I have decided to help you. Now, have you given thought to the type of people you need?
I was thinking masons, carpenters, farmers for crops and livestock, and guards.
That's it? That's all you think is required to grow a village? How will you feed them while you wait for crops to grow? You will need hunters and fishermen. How will you clothe them when the seasons grow cold? You need weavers to make those clothes. How will you help those who get ill or injured? You will need a healer. There is more to a community than just buildings and defense.
A host of responses went through Richter's head, but he ultimately decided on, "Will you help me?" A smile replaced her stern expression.
That is what Mama is for.
They went over the specifics for several more hours. Afterwards, she promised to speak to her workers and find out who would be interested. When she told him the weekly wages most lived on, he was shocked. These people were just being blatantly taken advantage of. She agreed it was well below what each was worth, but seemed resigned that this was now the way of the world. Richter told her that anyone that he decided to take with him would be paid the basic wage of 4 silvers per fortnight, and he would cover room and board for the first year. This brought another smile to her face, and she assured him it would make it easier to convince people to leave Law. They moved on to other topics. The first was that the workers had families, and she needed to know if they could come as well. Since Richter was planning to grow his community, it seemed well in line with his goals, and he readily agreed. The next topic was how to get people there. Trekking a large amount of people through rugged terrain with the possibility of animal or monster attacks was daunting. He would have to hire a large amount of guards. The other option, though, was to use the riverways. Buying several boats was not feasible, but renting a few river craft, while expensive, was manageable. It would also let him transport needed items, like anvils and the core components for a smelter, to his village. Even though he was getting excited about the increased possibilities, the costs he had not foreseen were becoming daunting. He was relieved again that he had found the chest of jewels. Without their capital, reviving his new home might have been an insurmountable task. The conversation continued to evolve to topics ranging from hiring a shipwright, needing shovels and other tools, and investing in a new stationary buzzsaw that could be powered by the river to greatly increase productivity. He hedged off the last one. What were mist workers for if not hard labor? At the end of their talk, Mama had a list of items that should be obtained and categorized them as necessary, beneficial, or simply desired. Richter had told her that he had worked with Hafiz before. She said she knew him and agreed he was a good choice for obtaining what was needed. She also said that by tomorrow there would be a strong list of candidates to join him. With a final thank you, Richter and Sion left and made their way back to the Laughing Imp. Several men lounged in front of the inn. It didn't look like anything special to the untrained eye, but one casually got up to meet them and the other three tensed.
Inn is closed today, friend.
I'm here for a meeting. I helped Tarad secure the precious cargo inside.
Get him.
The man still stood in front of Richter, but sent one of his fellows inside. Tarad came out soon after and waved him inside. The mood of the former captives was much improved as they sat in small groups and talked, smiling. It was amazing what being clean, warm, and fed could do for your attitude. He followed Tarad to a back table that had five older non-humans, two dwarves, two elves, and a small humanoid that Richter couldn't identify. He then used Analyze on all of them and found out their exact races, a mountain dwarf, hill dwarf, wood elf, high elf, and a builder gnome. More importantly, though, was the prompt that he was awarded.
Congratulations, you have reached skill level 5 in Analyze. In addition to the information you already receive, you will also be provided with basic information of the target's race, the target's name, and the target's disposition towards you.
Curious, he quickly used his ability again on everyone present.
Name, Tarad, human, level 6, health 170, mana 120, stamina 160, disposition, friendly. Humans are one of the shortest-lived but most prolific breeders in the land. Humans have a broader affinity for skills than other races. No special bonuses to race. Humans get 4 points to distribute per level. Name, Sion, Wood Sprite, level 9, health 210, mana 190, stamina 120, disposition, ally. Sprites have several subclasses which determine their specific powers. Wood sprites are naturally gifted in tracking and woodcraft. They have a skill of imbuing their strikes with mana, greatly increasing damage. Wood sprites get 3 points to distribute per level, and each level gives +2 to dexterity. Name, Hilda, mountain dwarf, level 10, health 240, mana 120, stamina 260, disposition, friendly. Dwarves have several subclasses that determine their specific powers. Mountain dwarves are a hardy folk that get bonuses to constitution and endurance each level. They have keen eyesight that gives them excellent night vision. Natural miners, it is said mountain dwarves can smell veins of precious metals. Increased resistance to negative physical effects. Increased affinity and resistance to earth magic. Mountain dwarves get 3 points to distribute per level, and each level gives +1 to constitution and +1 to endurance. Name, Poltan, hill dwarf, level 8, health 250, mana 130, stamina 210, disposition friendly. Dwarves have several subclasses that determine their specific powers. Hill dwarves are the most social of the dwarven races, highly skilled in crafting, one of the few dwarf races known to be skilled in ranged combat, increased resistance to negative physical effects, increased affinity and resistance to earth magic. Hill dwarves get 3 points to distribute per level, and each level gives +1 to constitution and +1 to endurance. Name, Yulin, wood elf, level 10, health 170, mana 260, stamina 110, disposition friendly. Elves have several subclasses that determine their specific powers. Wood elves are gifted in archery, woodcraft, and healing. Increased accuracy and damage when using ranged weapons. Bonus to dodge. Wood elves get 3 points to distribute per level, and each level gives +1 to dexterity and +1 to intelligence. Name, Wisteria, high elf, level 12, health 130,
Mana, 300. Stamina, 110. Disposition, friendly. Elves have several subclasses that determine their specific powers. High elves are gifted in archery and most magical arts. They have increased resistance to magical attack. Bonus to intelligence and wisdom each level. High elves get 3 points to distribute per level, and each level gives +1 to intelligence and +1 to wisdom. Name, Baron, Builder Gnome, level 9, health 140, mana 190, stamina 210, disposition, friendly. Gnomes have several subclasses that determine their specific powers. Builder Gnomes are obsessed with the application of knowledge, known to make amazing devices and build fantastic structures, gifted in magical crafting. Builder Gnomes get 3 points to distribute per level, and each level gives +1 to intelligence and +1 to endurance. It was pleasant to see how they all viewed him. Not overly surprising, though, considering the role he had played in freeing a people. Well, no reason not to grease the wheels. Looking at each in turn, he willed himself to speak their native languages. All had surprised looks that only grew as they observed his apparent mastery of multiple tongues. Tirad and Sion sat, but Richter remained standing. He had given some thought to how he would address them. He decided to maintain his customary tack of honesty and strength. Switching to the common tongue, "I am master of a village and a place of power. I need help to grow the village into something good, something to be proud of. When I came to this kingdom, I thought that only meant getting people with skills to grow the physical village, raise crops, and erect walls. I don't believe that any longer. I could give you many reasons why coming to my village is the smart thing to do, but only you can truly know that. Only you have lived through the past years of oppression in this kingdom. Only you know how it has affected your lives, your livelihoods, and your families. Only you can make a simple decision. Do you continue to live here being forced to kneel? Or do you take a chance to come with me and stand on the merits of your own skills and hard work? I make no promises for the future, but I do promise that if you come with me, we will meet it together." Richter sat down. No one spoke for a moment. They simply watched each other. He was pleased with what he saw. No doubt there would be more work to fully convince them, but from the nods and speculative looks on their faces, he was confident the Mist Village was about to have dozens of more residents. It was good to be the King of Charisma. They all agreed to come with him in the end, and had already spoken to their people. Richter now had dwarven smiths and crafters, elvish hunters and healers, and gnomish builders and farmers. There was even an elvish shipwright and her apprentices. Each race had a smattering of fighters and casters of various types as well. All told, including families, wives, husbands, and children, 182 souls agreed to come with him. The topic of wages came up, and he interrupted them in the middle of their proposal. He refused to pay the wage they would have made in the kingdom, and instead proposed to pay the wage their human counterparts would have made for the same work. Richter had already resolved he would not sow the seeds of discord and disharmony in the early days of his new community. He made it clear that all would be treated equally. Tears welled in several eyes at that, and the gnome freely shed a few tears and reached out to shake his hand. Richter merely nodded in response, and further told them that for the first year as they built the village, he would also provide free room and board. They, in turn, would help to grow the village, protect it as needed, and respect his position as master of the village. He was also firm on the point that all would help each other advance their skills. Richter planned to have a skilled population that was versatile. There was no dissension. That only left the problem of getting them out of the kingdom. Thankfully, this was not the insurmountable problem that Richter had feared it to be. Tirad had the solution. The original plan had been to smuggle the non-humans into the kingdom of Rion, which did not distinguish between the races in how they treated their citizens. Tirad had hired the thieves to shelter the non-humans so they could slowly move small groups of them through Rald's Pass, the only well-traveled and safe passage through the serrated mountains. It was the only direct way into Rion, as no rivers large enough to carry ships connected the two kingdoms.
Incidentally, this was also why Rion had not been annexed by the Kingdom of Eve long ago. Now that the ultimate destination was the Forest of Nadria, different possibilities were open to them. The Undyne River, the apparent name of the major waterway that ran behind Law, connected to the Forest of Nadria, as Richter well knew. They could hide the non-humans on river barges, taking them past Leaf's Crossing and into the forest. From there, Richter could guide them among the forest's many tributaries until they were only a few miles from the village. He and several others that he would grant immunity to the mists would then guide them to the village and later back out. The basic location of the village might be known by a few ship captains, but nothing specific would get back to anyone in the kingdom. Richter was acutely aware that the greatest defense of his village was its obscure location. Taking the ships to the village was the only option, though. Despite his need for caution, he had not forgotten the dangers of the forest or his encounter with the troll on the way out. Taking a host of defenseless children and non-fighters over hundreds of miles of wooded terrain would be inviting slaughter. It was these very dangers that had led Tirad and the others to reject the Forest of Nadria, or any of the other neighboring lands initially. The Silent Hills, the Whisper Woods, the Plains of Gold, all of them could be reached by river. They were all populated with monsters or hostile tribes, though. It was only because Richter had found and created a safe haven that the forest was now a viable option. It would take several days to arrange the transport, collect the families, and bribe the ship captains, but Tirad was confident he could do it. In the meantime, each of the five leaders worked with Richter to make a list of the materials they would be needing for their various peoples. Some of it was minor, such as seeds for planting. Other items could be made once there, like nails, boards, shovels, and plows. Some were already owned, like a jeweler's tools. Some had to be bought, however, like the smelter components for the blacksmiths. Many of the requests had already been covered during his talk with Mama. The gnome also brought up that if he wanted livestock, he would have to arrange for that to be bought and shipped. Ideally, everything would be waiting to be picked up in Leaf's Crossing by the time they got there. He had several hundred gold in hard currency, the jewels he had obtained from the thieves, plus the lion's share of the jewels from the treasury. It was time to see Hafiz again. He had only gotten a few hours of sleep in the last 2 days, though, and just the thought of all the money he was about to spend was exhausting. He said goodnight and walked up to his room, falling into a dreamless sleep. Chapter 24, Day 45, Shaban 33, 15,368 ABG. Richter woke early with the dawn. He decided to leave Sion sleeping and made his way downstairs after gathering his bag and weapons. A half-asleep barmaid gave him a biscuit to break his fast. Thanking her, he grabbed one more and walked outside, eating on the move. Blah! This tasted like it was barely made with any lard at all. His grandmother wouldn't have fed this to the dogs. He had so much to add to this world. On the plus side, the sky was clear. There was still moisture on the paved stones from the cool night before. Though the sun was rising, two moons could still be seen low in the sky. He walked at an unhurried pace. As he made his way, it occurred to him that this was one of his only moments of solitude since waking in the land. It was, he reflected, a beautiful morning. Hafiz's shop was still locked when Richter arrived. A round of vigorous knocking brought a sleepy and annoyed face to the window. Holding up the biscuit bribe, Richter gave his most winning smile. Hafiz didn't seem impressed, but unlocked the door anyway. The disheveled man bowed his head.
"What can your most humble servant do for you?"
he asked, clearly irritated. "Just how many potions of clarity could you sell per month? Each lasts a full day and gives a 25% bonus to experience." Hafiz lifted his head, a large, wolf-like smile slowly growing on his face. "Huh," Richter thought. "If that's the way I look, it is kind of creepy." The two men haggled good-naturedly for about an hour. It was clear that the negotiations were more about a shared enjoyment of the art of bargaining than a need to one-up each other. With his high charisma and the promise of future profits, Richter ended up paying with half of his gold and about a third of his remaining gemstones, but he was able to get all of the items he and Mama had come up with. He also bought enough grain and foodstuffs to ensure that his people could eat for 4 to 5 months, even without hunting. That should last them until the first crops came in. They agreed that one of Hafiz's emissaries would meet him at Leaf's Crossing with 2 plow horses, 1 bull, 7 cows, 10 sheep, several dozen chickens, and 20 pigs. Richter asked for some goats, but those apparently were only in the northern part of the kingdom and could not be obtained on short notice. Hafiz promised to arrange for delivery of several at a future point. Richter smiled, thinking about goat stew. Yum! He felt that he might have gone overboard with the animals, but he was a southerner. The idea of actually getting bacon and fried chicken made his mouth water. If there was one thing this world would thank him for, it would be evolving dinner meat past mutton. It required another 5 gold to arrange transport to be waiting in Leaf for these supplies. It seemed steep, but Hafiz assured him it would cost a large amount just to convince a ship captain to let animals ride in his hull. Thinking of the smell, Richter revised his earlier opinion and acquiesced. Hafiz, or someone he worked with, would also meet him at Leaf's Crossing at the beginning of each month. They would collect the potions and anything else Richter had to sell. They would also take any requests the fledgling village might have. Business concluded, the two men clasped hands and parted ways. Richter was happy to see the following prompt. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 2 in trade. 0.5% bonus to buying and selling. Richter walked to the hall to see what Mama had found. He tried to use his internal map, but in just the space of a day, the tent city had changed. Richter wouldn't have believed it possible, but it seemed the Grand Market was almost a living thing. Sighing, he found another urchin and gave him a few coins. Somehow, the barefoot boy was able to navigate in a way that not even the traveler's magic could match. Half an hour or so later, he emerged on the promenade and walked towards the hall. He found Mama at the back and was early enough that the line hadn't formed yet. When she saw him, she gave a few muttered directions to one of her aides, then stood and led him outside. He told her of the non-humans that had agreed to come with him, and what their professions were. She nodded and said she had several families of hunters and farmers, as well as several individuals in a variety of professions that would happily join him. He was taken outside by one of her associates and spent the next several hours meeting the candidates. He spoke to each about non-humans and dismissed from consideration any who showed issues with them. He ultimately chose another 57 humans. When their families were factored in, he had agreed to take in another 103 people to the village. He went back inside and paid Mama her fee, 5 coppers per person. He was about to leave when she stopped him.
"There is one more person I would like you to meet."
She grabbed one of her older associates and stepped to the side with him. The man looked somewhat confused.
"Do you trust me, Randolphus?" she asked.
"Of course, Jella," he said in a cultured voice.
"You have been a wonderful help and a better friend. I have been happy to help you, but you are being wasted here. This man is about to start a new village and quite honestly has no idea what he is doing."
"Hey," Richter exclaimed.
"Do not interrupt Mama," she scolded.
Turning back to Randolphus,
"He is making a new community that does not know how to handle the countless problems that will come up. I think you should go with him."
Addressing Richter now, she said,
"Randolphus was the chamberlain for the late king. He faithfully managed the affairs of the castle for decades. You are lucky to have him. Now you are both strong-willed and pig-headed, so rather than waste any more of my time, simply say, 'Thank you, Mama.'"
Feeling like he was in third grade, Richter chuckled and said, "Thank you, Mama," and was quickly followed by Randolphus doing the same. With a slight smile on her face, she went to sit behind her desk, saying over her shoulder,
"No charge."
Randolphus was a tall, older man with a well-trimmed gray beard. His hair was long and black, hanging around his head to his shoulders. He wore a gray shirt with a black vest and black pants. When they shook hands to have a more formal introduction, his grip was firm, but he did not squeeze overly hard.
"I remember you from the other day. Despite her good intentions, I would not force myself into anyone's service. Do you have any need of my aid?"
"If you are half as impressive as she said, I really would be lucky to have your help. A village will be the definition of humble compared to a king's palace, but I intend to make it something special. Will you help me?"
"It would be my pleasure, my lord,"
Randolphus replied, bowing his head. "We will be traveling to the Forest of Nadria. What I really need right now is someone to organize all of the workers Mama has arranged. Can you get them all to Leaf's Crossing? I will have a ship to pick them up in a week's time, give or take a few days."
"It will be done, my lord."
Knots of tension that Richter had not even been aware of began to unravel from his back and neck. He smiled and said, "Randy, we are going to get along great." He turned and left with a bit of pep in his step, missing his new chamberlain's long-suffering sigh over his new sobriquet. By the time Richter made it back out of the Grand Market, more than half the day was gone, and so Richter decided to check back with Sion. Entering the inn, Tirad ran up to him.
"Where have you been?"
"Never mind. We've broken the code, or at least part of it. I know where Isabel is."
"Where?"
"I am ready to go with you."
"Do you know who Count Stonach is?"
"No, I haven't heard anything about the nobility in the kingdom."
"Well, he is one of the main proponents of the new laws, and a personal friend of the king. His lands are less than a day's journey south, but he has an estate inside of the city. A friend of mine works on his estate here, helping in the kitchen. He told me that a wood elf fitting Isabel's description has been seen."
Tirad's voice caught for a second and he stopped. Then his face firmed, his eyes full of unshed tears but also a savage anger.
"She has been seen in his personal chambers. He is having a ball in 3 days, and then he is leaving the city for the season. I won't be able to get to her once he's back in his own land, surrounded by all of his guards."
"What about on the road? We slip into their group while they are moving, grab Isabel, and slip out when they stop,"
Sion asked. Tirad shook his head.
"They live too close. He would most likely leave in the morning and travel straight there without stopping. It is completely open terrain. We won't have a chance. In the light of day, any attack will be seen miles off. And even if we succeed, we cannot openly attack the nobility to rescue an elf. Word would get back to the king and all the nobility would be up in arms. It would give the king the excuse he needs to enact even harsher laws against the non-humans. The only thing stopping him now is that some of the older and more powerful nobles would not go along with it."
"So what is the plan?" Richter asked.
"My contact can sneak us into the estate the night of the ball. 3 of us, 4 max. Sion, I am sorry, but you cannot come. Any non-humans would ruin the plan immediately. Once we are inside, we pose as servants. He told me that Isabel is being kept in a room attached to the Count's chambers. Each night they are brought their food by one of the servants. I will pose as the servant and go to her."
Tirad looked at Richter.
"What I need is for you to handle the guards in front of the Count's chambers, ideally in a way without bloodshed and without them being able to identify us. No matter what, though, they will need to be dealt with, or I will not be able to get Isabel out."
Richter looked back at Tirad. "I said I would help you, and I will. I do not have much in the way of stealth skills, though. My imbued arrow will kill them, but you know how much noise it makes. It would alert every guard in the house."
Tirad was nodding quickly.
"I know, I know. I have thought of that. No one that we freed can come with us for the same reason that Saya needs to stay behind. Non-humans would immediately be detained and questioned. But that doesn't mean they do not want to help. There are 2 adept mages present, one of dark and one of earth. The dark adept has a spell that could accomplish what we need. I've already checked, though. None of the humans that are part of our group have the affinity to learn dark magic, but I thought you might. You already seem to have multiple magics. Will you try?"
No matter what Tirad had asked, Richter would have complied. The desperation and stress in the man's voice was heartrending.
Of course, Tarad. Where can I find them? Come with me,
he said, walking towards the inn's stairwell. At the end of the hallway, on the second floor, there was a small open area. A rectangular table was there with six chairs. Sunlight streamed through the window, but a light breeze came through as well, making for a very pleasant climate. A dwarf, an elf, and a gnome sat around the table. Richter used Analyze on each in turn. Name, Zar. Mountain Dwarf, level 17. Health, 420. Mana, 350. Stamina, 320. Disposition, friendly. Dwarves have several subclasses that determine their specific powers. Mountain dwarves are a hardy folk that get bonuses to constitution and endurance each level. They have keen eyesight that gives them excellent night vision. Natural miners, it is said mountain dwarves can smell veins of precious metals. Increased resistance to negative physical effects. Increased affinity and resistance to earth magic. Mountain dwarves get 3 points to distribute per level, and each level gives +1 to constitution and +1 to endurance. Name, Yulindi. High elf, level 18. Health, 310. Mana, 320. Stamina, 260. Disposition, friendly. Elves have several subclasses that determine their specific powers. High elves are gifted in archery and most magical arts. They have increased resistance to magical attack. High elves get 3 points to distribute per level, and each level gives +1 to intelligence and +1 to wisdom. Name, Quasia. Arcane gnome level 16. Health, 150. Mana, 730. Stamina, 110. Disposition, friendly. Gnomes have several subclasses that determine their specific powers. Arcane gnomes are obsessed with knowledge. Increased dodge and sneak. Gifted in magical arts. Bonus to intelligence each level. Arcane gnomes get 3 points to distribute per level, and each level gives +2 to intelligence. Richter greeted each in turn by their names. Zar looked at him sternly.
You should not use your ability on a person without their consent, lad. It's bad manners.
Quasia just laughed, however.
Oh, Zar, stop teasing the boy. As if you wouldn't do the same if you could.
Not really the point at all, is it, Q?
He replied. The elf stepped forward and extended his hand.
Well met, Richter. Thank you so much for your help in freeing our people. Tarod has told us how pivotal you were in the fight against the Nightblades. They were unkind to our people, to say the least. Though none of us were held captive in that hole, the suffering of our people still pained us. When I heard the Adepts were going to meet you, I volunteered as well. I am an adept archer and a journeyman of light armor. Zar is an adept earth mage, and Quasia is an adept dark sorceress. We can increase your skills over the next 3 days. It should greatly increase your chances to retrieve Isabel.
I appreciate your offer, but I'm not sure if I could afford your expertise, Richter said cautiously. The idea of getting more skills was an amazing temptation, but he couldn't believe they would just help him out of the kindness of their hearts.
We do not require payment, but it shows wisdom that you do not jump at the first opportunity for more power,
Quasia answered. The gnome had fair skin and long red hair that was woven into a ponytail draped over her left shoulder. She was about 4 feet tall and had a round, kind face. She wore a black robe belted with a dark purple rope that stopped just above her knees, tied in front with an intricate knot. She looked him in the eye with purple irises that matched her robe, but her gaze was more playful than challenging.
I will tell you why we are helping you. We owe you a debt either way for freeing our loved ones. I also personally know Isabel, and I would not leave her in the hands of a pig like the Count. More than that, however, by deciding to come with you, we have tied our fate to you. The others may not have picked up on your secret, but I am an adept of the dark. The dark is useful for many things, but primarily it is used to conceal. I can feel the mark you try to hide. That, coupled with what Tarod told us about the defenses you had in place for the village, really only lead to one simple conclusion. You are the master of a place of power.
The last was said as a statement. All three looked at him. Richter felt trapped by the weight of their attention. The six of them sat in silence, gazing at one another. He did not want his abilities known broadly. He had not forgotten Hisako's warning that his power would make him a target. Analyze had shown that all three were friendly to him, though. They had also all agreed to join his community. There really didn't seem to be much risk. He held up his left wrist and willed the mark to appear. I am the master of the Mist Village and the power it is built on. I promise I meant everything I have said before. Everyone that comes to my village will be treated fairly. I am the master, though, he added forcefully. Now that Quasia had forced his hand, he decided it was best to establish the guidelines for how things would be. The gnome only nodded.
I quite understand, my lord Richter.
She bowed her head slightly, and the other two followed suit.
We did not expect anything else. That brings us to the main reason we are helping you. If we are going to make your village a home, then the more prosperous it is, and by extension you are, the better off we all will be. Though do not expect us to always instruct you for free in the future,
she said with a smile and a wink. Richter responded with a smile of his own. Then I gladly accept your help. Where do we begin? He spent the next 3 days with the three instructors. The skills the archer adept taught him were all stamina-dependent, and, predictably, Zar's and Quasia's skills were mana-based. The spell that was necessary for the mission came from Quasia, Troubled Sleep 1, but required a skill level of 3 in dark magic. She also taught him 2 level 1 spells that he cast relentlessly until his dark magic level increased to level 3. After working with the three trainers, his skills had increased, and he had gained several new ones. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 4 in light armor, plus 2% to defense of all light armor. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 6 in light armor, plus 2% to defense of all light armor. Congratulations, you have learned the sub-skill Grace in Combat. If wearing all light armor, dodge increased by 10%. This is a sub-skill of light armor. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 2 in Grace in Combat. Dodge increased by 11%. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 6 in archery. Plus 2% bonus to aim. Plus 2% bonus to damage. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 7 in archery. Plus 2% bonus to aim. Plus 2% bonus to damage. Congratulations, you have learned the sub-skill Double Shot. You can fire an arrow and then a second arrow with less than a second between them. Accuracy of first shot decreased by 25%, and accuracy of the second shot decreased by 50%. Cost 20 stamina. This is a sub-skill of archery. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 3 in Double Shot. Accuracy of first shot decreased by 23%, and accuracy of the second shot decreased by 48%. Congratulations, you have learned the sub-skill Drill Shot. Strong focus lets you find holes in an enemy's armor. You can ignore 10% of an opponent's armor. Takes 2 seconds to aim. Cost 25 stamina. This is a sub-skill of archery. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 2 in Drill Shot. You can ignore 11% of an opponent's armor. Congratulations, you have learned the skill Dark Magic. Increasing your skill will unlock more spells. It will also increase the power of your spells. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 3 in Dark Magic. New spells are now available. Congratulations, you have learned the spell Night Vision. The target of this spell can see with only the faintest light. This is a spell of dark magic, cost 5 mana, duration 3 hours, range 10 feet, cast time 1 second, cooldown not applicable. Congratulations, you have learned the spell Weak Cloying Darkness. Cast a cone of thickened darkness 15 feet in length from your hand. Movement and attack speed of targets decreased by 20%. All in area of effect will suffer from spell. Will not work in direct sunlight. This is a spell of dark magic. Cost 30 mana. Duration 10 minutes. Range 10 feet. Cast time 1 second. Cooldown 5 minutes. Congratulations. You have learned the spell Troubled Sleep. Places your target in a restless sleep. He will be plagued by nightmares until awakening. Any attack or hostile action taken against target will awaken them. Area of effect, 5 feet. This is a spell of dark magic. Cost, 50 mana. Duration, 1 hour. Range, 15 feet. Cast time, 3 seconds. Cooldown, 15 minutes. You have reached skill level 2 in earth magic. New spells are now